The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain podcast on ESPN Radio.
How do you know when you know? How quickly after Tua Tagovailoa comes in the building will the Miami Dolphins know they got their guy? How quickly did the New York Jets know? Or how quickly did questions arise that Sam Darnold was their guy? When a freshman quarterback steps foot on campus, how quickly do you know you have something special? Well, I asked it of somebody who just went through the process. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. USC head football coach Clay Helton just supplanted a starter with a freshman phenom. How quickly did he know that Keaton Slovis was the quarterback of the future for the Trojans? How quickly did he know when Sam Darnold took over as quarterback of the Trojans that he was the guy? I'll ask Clay Helton coming up in a little bit here on the Will Cain Show. Plus, it's Friday, and that means it's time for our homework. I was your winner last week, so I pick the genre this week. What movies do we watch and come back next Tuesday, giving ourselves an extra day to watch, and vote who picked the best and the worst of a given genre? As the victor last week, my selection is superhero movies. So load them up, 888-729-3776. Help us fill up the big board. Let's go through the brainstorming. In the third hour of the show, we'll draft best superhero movies for our homework this weekend. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. If there is a guidepost, a guiding light to the Will Cain Show, something that I try to do every day, something that's my promise to myself, if I do this, I will at least have not failed today. It's no guarantee of success, but I will at least have not failed you if I can keep it real. If I can be authentic with you at all times. What does that mean, by the way? Everybody says it. Everybody says keep it real. But what does that mean? It means say what you say. Say what you mean. Be open. Yeah, be confirmed and strong in your convictions. Be open to others as well. Own your insecurities. Own where you can be wrong. Say what's on your mind. Don't hide it. Don't talk to an audience. Don't talk past people. Don't try to preserve likability. Say what is real. That's been my guiding light. That's my guidepost. More than being right, even more than being logical, it is to be authentic. And when I'm wrong, I'll know it. You'll know it. We'll know it. Today, this week, this month, this year, where we are, I find that really the thing that I hope can get us through this time. Let's keep it real. First, I want to tell you this. There is some news out there banging around. It has been for a couple of weeks, and I'm sure some of you have come across it. But it has to do with me and my future here at ESPN. I want to keep it real with you. But I don't want to do that right now. It's not the time. It's not the place. But it will be. Next week, we'll talk about me, my future, this radio show, and our relationship, yours and mine. But today is not the day for that, because this country right now is living on a razor's edge. There are more important things than sports radio. This country right now is suffering from numerous, multiple different crises at the same time, new and old. All of them serious. And all of them tying back to the world of sports in a continuous manner. And I have to believe that keeping it real is going to be the only thing that sees us through the coming months and years. This is what I mean. First of all, let's start with the light. As light as it gets these days. You know, I don't know where this coronavirus pandemic takes us as a public health hazard, but where it's taking us as an economy is absolutely dire. I don't want to be a downer. I want to be real. What we're about to see in our economy is only the beginning, and it's ugly, and it's going to impact everything. I feel like every time I turn around, man, I've got another friend. I read another story. I see another business who is furloughed or failing in this country. And it will, just to illustrate, just as an illustration, affect the very superficial things we love about sports. Let me give you one example and tie it to the news. I have recently said that the Golden State Warriors dynasty is not over. It's just on pause. They're loading up on cap space and draft capital and young assets to reboot around Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And they'll bring in another big asset. But increasingly, with the economy in tatters, what do you think is going to happen to the NBA salary cap? It's going to contract. And here are the Warriors with a massive payroll. And not only are they not going to be able to just go ahead and jump both feet first into signing some big free agent or pulling off a Buku trade where you got to give a max deal, they're going to have to handle what's already on their roster. Listen to ESPN's NBA insider Brian Windhorst.
Deals that they made in and out of the Kevin Durant departure left them with a $17 million trade exception and an extra first-round pick next year, the Minnesota Timberwolves pick, which they think will be a lottery pick, plus likely a top-five pick this year. But here's the problem, David. Their arena is closed. This was their cash cow. This was what they were planning on being able to pay for all of this. And they are on the hook for what will probably be the highest payroll next year of over $150 million when you include their likely draft pick. And the salary cap and luxury tax may fall, and I don't know if they're going to be able to afford it. And their plans of using that trade exception to add another player, of using those draft picks either to acquire another star player or to invest them in a young player, that's all gone sideways. I'm not sure that they're going to be able to afford this roster anymore.
I'm not sure they're going to be able to afford this roster. As an illustration, a superficial one, the Golden State Warriors won't be able to reboot, much less maintain their current status in this economy. How can they? When their arena can't even put in concerts, much less games. As I said, that's superficial. Look around, man. I have buddies who've had their furloughs extended. I see new news items every time I turn around about people losing their jobs. And you want another sports example of this? How about this? Today, news that hundreds of minor league baseball players have been let go. Minor league baseball is contracting. And why wouldn't it? Minor league baseball has no big TV deal. Minor league baseball is built on the idea of fans in the stands. It's a game day experience. And now all of a sudden, yes, minor league baseball was going to contract to some extent anyway, but now how is a business that's built on a game day experience supposed to survive? No. You want another example from the world of sports? Hundreds, as a start, of minor league baseball players losing their jobs in the last couple of days. And then, of course, there's this. George Floyd and what's going on in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I got a text last night from one of my friends here at ESPN. He's an on-air personality. He's African-American, and I'm not going to share his name for now because he didn't ask me to do that. It was a private conversation between two friends, but I don't think I'm betraying trust to just say. I got a text last night from him saying, really appreciate your conversation with Damian Woody yesterday. You can hear that. It's up on the Will Cain Show podcast feed. What is it? It's just two dudes being real. The officer that killed George Floyd, I think I'm saying his name correctly, Derek Chauvin, has been arrested. He is now in police custody. It was outrageous. It was an injustice. It's awful. This country should be ashamed of what happened there. I told Damien, I told a caller yesterday, how much did race have a role in what happened in Minneapolis? I don't know. On an individual level, I don't know. I don't know that man's heart. I can't say what was in his mind, his thoughts, and his spirit. I don't know. How much of it is institutional racism? Well, let me tell you something. That's a big conversation. That's a real one. It has to do with people's personal experience, people like Damian Woody. It has to do with data as well, and something I've brought up on numerous occasions in my years here at ESPN, much to my unpopularity. But it's all part of being real and getting it right. And I'll tell you this. Next week, I'll sit down with Woody, maybe a couple other guys around here who the mutual respect runs deep, and we'll talk about exactly what's going on in this country over a long-form pod. We'll run them here on the Will Cain Show, but there'll be opportunities for real, long, challenging, in-depth conversations. It won't be mutual agreement every step of the way so that we can make sure we come away from this seeming as virtuous and popular as possible. It will be real. That's my promise to you and myself. Doesn't always work. Not everybody appreciates it. Some shows don't appreciate it. Some networks don't appreciate it. But I will do it because that's my promise. That's what is my guiding light. And I think, I truly do believe that it is the only thing that can get us through what promises to be an awful couple of months at a minimum in this country, being real with each other. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Let's lighten it up. You fill up the phone lines. You let us know what needs to be on the superhero big board. And on a sports note, I swear I truly am always fascinated. How do you know when you know? So Clay Helton, head football coach, USC. How did you know that Keaton Slovis was the guy and not JT Daniels, who's now a Georgia Bulldog? How did you know that Sam Darnold was the guy when he took over as a freshman? How will the Dolphins know? When will they know if Tua is the guy? That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
How do you know when you know? That's coming up in just a moment here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. A couple of updates from that first segment. Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman said Derek Chauvin was charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. That's the police officer that killed George Foley in Minneapolis, Minnesota. That is now official. He has been arrested and he has been charged. George Floyd, excuse me, I misspoke there. I also mentioned the coming economic crisis that we have in this country that has only, I believe, just begun. Jeff Passan, ESPN's Major League Baseball insider, talked about the illustration I gave you moments ago. Hundreds of minor league baseball players being let go. He said minor league baseball is in really bad shape. Listen.
The minor leagues are a completely different business than the major leagues. Major League Baseball has sponsorships. Major League Baseball has television revenue. And Major League Baseball has significant gate revenue. The only thing that the minor leagues have is that gate revenue. And when you can't open up your stadium to fans, you can't have a business that's functional. And that's what teams are facing right now. Remember, Major League Baseball wanted to cut the 160 minor league teams down to about 120. That is clearly going to happen. But of those 120 that aren't cut, you wonder how many are going to go under just because financially their solvency issues become too overwhelming.
If you can't have a business that's open to the public, you can't have a business that's functional. Trust me, you want to keep it real, we're going to have a much more open conversation about the remedial measures taken in this country over the last couple of months and the cost of those economically, psychologically, physically as well. When people are unemployed, when people are listless, when they have lost their purpose, the price to pay is high. But back to football. I have always been fascinated by this question. Bill Polian, when he used to make his way through the ESPN hallways, was somebody I would always ask this question of. I think I've asked it of Lewis Riddick as well. And that is, when do you know what you know? Like a quarterback you draft, how quickly do you know you got the right guy? Is it in the first scrimmage, the first practice, in the first meeting? When a quarterback you've recruited steps on campus, how do you know he's the guy? Yesterday, I sat down with the head football coach at USC, Clay Helton. I did a long-form interview podcast with Coach Helton. You can go check it out on the Will Cain Show podcast feed. The theme ends up being uncertainty. Look, Clay Helton has coached, he's lived on the line of uncertainty for years now. I mean, there is no coach in the country who has been more on the hot seat than Clay Helton. Boosters, fans of USC, national writers have all written Clay Helton off. He has had a rough go of it the last couple of years. But one thing he did this year, admittedly, when JT Daniels got injured, was stumble upon a great quarterback seemingly, in freshman Keaton Slovis. It happened once before, Sam Darnold, under somewhat similar circumstances, an injury. But I was curious in a guy like Hilton, who's turned to a young quarterback twice when he knew, oh, this guy's got it. So I asked him. This is my conversation with Clay Helton on that note. I've been curious about this from day one, both in the pros and in college, and it's probably a different calculation for both. I used to ask Bill Polian this and other guys I'd interact with at ESPN. The question is, when do you know? You had Sam that freshman year. You put him in, mm-hmm. and you said things started to turn around. This year, JT Daniels got hurt, mm-hmm. and Keaton Slovis comes in and played incredibly well. I'm curious how big a surprise that is to you, or do you know this is what I have on the practice field? When do you know you have something special at quarterback?
Yeah, you know, one, we're fortunate. I think we acquired great quarterbacks here at USC, and there's several good ones in the room. But having played the position, having coached the position, the one thing that you can always see, and you probably see it on TV a lot, Will, is this. Their eyes give it away. You know, when everybody's pretty good at routes on air and one-on-one and seven-on-seven and maybe in practice, but when the bright lights are on and you're in that situation – to be able to keep the skill set that you have and the talent you have when all the bullets are flying around you and chaos is going and you're the poise and the calm and the storm. And that's when you know you got something.
What is that composure you're talking about?
Yes, sir. That poise and composure of the position. When Sam walks in that arena at Utah, it was like he had done it 1,000 times. And it was his first, you know, as a redshirt freshman, he walks into a hostile environment and he executes and performs. It wasn't his greatest game, but you could tell on his face there was no question he could handle the situation. With Keaton this past year, you know, it's his time, you know, as a true freshman, been on campus literally 6 months. He walks into that Stanford game, and it looked like practice. I mean, it literally, from his attitude, the way he was with the guys, everybody knew how talented he was. But can you perform when the bullets are flying in that situation? And he goes out there and has an amazing game. And you're like, whoa, okay, for a true freshman in this type of environment, in this type of game that's so big for our football team, to be able to handle it with the utmost poise and composure and still execute at a high level, that's when you know you got something special.
It sounds like you won't know until there's live action, a game, like not the kind of thing you could pick up in practice or in a scrimmage.
Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, you see a ton of quarterbacks in today's time. We all say, oh, yeah, they can spin it. They can spin it. They can throw it. You know, everybody's got a nice motion. Ball comes out of their hands good. Oh, man, live arm. It means nothing. When those guys are running at you and it's a violent game and you're able to handle the situation, and it's those guys that when it's an unperfect world, they still execute. You know, you think about even in today's time, the Patrick Mahomes, the Russell Wilsons, those type of quarterbacks that when everything breaks down, they're still executing. That's the real world of college football. I mean, defensive pass rushers have become so talented, so fast. Pockets are going to break down. It's just not a perfect world anymore. And when you can execute when everything else is going crazy around you and you're focused on what your eyes are downfield, you're able to make those decisions with an immense amount of poise. You don't panic. That's the special trait that everybody can see, the great arm. It's the guys that can execute when it's when the world's going crazy around them.
It's not the first time I've heard something like that, what I heard from USC football coach Clay Helton. You know, my kids are into soccer. I've probably talked about that in the past. They work on footwork drills. There's like different YouTube videos you can do, beast mode, do this, do that. And one of my kids' coach was like, yeah, it doesn't matter until you can do it under pressure. So you ought to see my dumb butt. I mean, I'm over there putting pressure on them, swinging like, you know, pool noodles at their feet and you know, simulating pressure every time I can to see if they can do it around them. Because every life lesson is an opportunity to teach your kids something, right? But I know what he's talking about. That's when he knew it with Keaton. That's when he knew it with Sam Darnold. Now, when do the Dolphins know it with a guy like Tua? Today, here on the Will Cain Show, we're going to talk about the AFC East. I'll give you my predictions for that division. We'll ask, over that 3-year period, who do you think is going to grab a stranglehold? Who do you bank on? The best coach, the best team, the best young core, the best young quarterback? That's 4 different teams. And you can hear who different guys here at ESPN think is the right quarterback, the best quarterback in that division. That's all coming up later here on the Will Cain Show. If you want to hear more of my conversation with Clay Helton and what it's like to always live with speculation of your firing coming. In fact, you can hear some of it here on the radio show in about an hour when he says he got the fake news and he was fired while sitting in a recruit's living room. You can go hear the whole thing on the Will Cain Show podcast feed. Coming up, let's talk to ESPN NFL front office insider Lewis Riddick on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
The weekend homework is superhero movies. We're going to set the big board, the brainstorming session, coming up in 15 minutes on the Will Cain Show. You contribute, 888-729-3776. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. On our phone lines, ESPN NFL front office insider Lewis Riddick. What's up, Lou?
Will, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Okay, this is what I want to do with you, Lou. I woke up today, and I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know how we do any of this other stuff. I mean, the world, no matter where you are, the world's attention is somewhere else. It's just not on sports. But at the same time, our job is to entertain and escape. But we can strike a balance. And thinking about you, I was thinking about one of our last conversations, actually the long one that you and I had, long form, hour long, about Lewis's life, his professional climb, his personal life, which you can go get on the Will Cain Show podcast feed. And I was thinking back to this thing you said, and I didn't really follow up at the time, Lou. And so I think now's the time I follow up. So you were telling me, and I'm going to get the town's name right this time, Quakertown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Growing up, really one of the only black families I believe you said in the town. So, or at least in your school, one of the few black kids in your school. And here's what I think, Lou, I don't think I have a question, but I'm just going to say something, then I'm going to open the door for you, okay? And you just say what you want to say. I think in the coming weeks and months, and really honestly, probably always, we just need to have real conversations with each other. And that's not always saying what everybody wants to hear. That's just saying what is true, we believe. And I think you need to have a balance between here's data, here's what data suggests. And one of the things I've come to learn, Lou, is to value personal experience. That sometimes we just have to realize we live in different worlds and personal experience paints our prism and our lessons. You grew up in a town, one of the only black kids, one of the only black families in town. Your personal experience with the news of what this country is talking about today.
Yeah. the feeling is though, you know, as a citizen, as a human being, that you're always like ice skating uphill. You're always having to go above and beyond to prove that you're equal, that you deserve to be treated equal, that you deserve to be included equally, that you deserve to be looked at and judged based on your merit and not your skin color. Is something that I think every minority, every African American has experienced. I think that the frustration obviously is palpable. The anger is palpable, especially when it devolves that inequality to the point where people do not value on a most basic level your life, your safety, their, you know, the respect that they have for you, which has been proven and has been displayed for years, decades, in various different forms, and once again was displayed just recently up there in Minneapolis. And then taking it a step further and making it more specific, how African-American men in particular are treated and or approached and profiled, and in many cases hunted down and victimized unlawfully by law enforcement. Those are the kind of things that, look, obviously I'm still here, so it hasn't, I haven't had the experience of it being something that has cost me my life, obviously, but I, that palpable fear and worry of when you get stopped in a car, you know, if you get stopped for a routine traffic stop, especially if it's nighttime and you're driving in a nice car like I drive, could you be automatically looked at and profiled in a way that you wouldn't be looked at and profiled were you not a minority? And see, those are all the kind of things that as a kid, I heard others talk about. As I got older, I was very much so aware of, although I'm not saying I had nice cars and things like that when I was younger, because we weren't a very wealthy family at all. But it was always, it was something that I was very much so aware of. I was very much so aware of people who would look at me differently and how I would have different feelings, being that I was one of the few African Americans in the circles that I was, you know, that I grew up in outside of my home life. I was always very aware of that. I was always very aware that I was different, that and that people looked at me different, and that I had to prove myself in many ways that other people didn't have to prove themselves. And now as an adult, with the way things are trending recently in particular and culminating in the kind of events that we're seeing today, which is maybe one of the most explosive days from a race relations standpoint that many of us have ever experienced, it really is hitting home that we're nowhere near where we need to be. And that's just a fact. We're just not where we need to be. And look, obviously there needs to be accountability and justice for what happened up in Minneapolis, and it seems as though it's heading that direction now, finally. But I think instead of us being, you know, instead of this tension and this anger and this animosity that's been normalized, like it's been like race relations and African Americans feeling as though they're second class, if even that, and being profiled and being stereotyped and being suppressed and not being given the same kind of treatment and same kind of opportunities. Instead of that being, that's been normalized. It's been part of what we've lived with for so long. I mean, that's a given. I think what I saw today, and I read this morning from Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He put this on his Instagram pages. How do we move to the point where we start to normalize equality? How do we get to that? What is the solution? What actually is the solution? How do you change something that has been so a part of our society here in the United States for hundreds of years? How do you change that? Because that's really what we're after here. Nobody wants to sit here and have to feel as though they have to protest and fight and riot and, mm-hmm. and get angry and fight and fight and fight over and over and over again to no avail and to not progress at all. What is the solution? How do you change people's narrow-minded, racist thinking? That thinking of based solely, you know, solely on your skin color, that you are inferior to me and therefore I don't have to respect you the way I respect non-African Americans or brown skinned people. How do you change that mentality? How do you change that ingrained, taught, you're not born with it. How do you change that taught hatred that obviously is still going on? That's really where my mind starts to move forward to now. How do you do that?
I'll tell you what I think. I'll tell you what I think. And unfortunately, you and I don't have a ton of time right now.
Yeah.
We can always make the time at another time.
Absolutely.
I would say, let me say two things, Lewis. Like, you said a lot there. And I will tell you, not every single verb you chose to use or every way you characterize it is something I can wholeheartedly agree with. But that doesn't deny your existence in my mind or what you've experienced, right? And I think those are the conversations we have to have. Like, how much actual profiling, hunting, those kind of words you used, right? And I would be somebody who wants to work through those with you, you know?
Right.
And then that leads me, Lewis, to the answer. Like you said, well, how? And I know some people don't like this for some reason, but I truly believe it's the truth. Like, I think this is the truth. It can only be done one individual at a time, because individuals have to make change. Like, institutions and societies are only accumulations of individuals. And like, you know, whether or not it's your and my relationship or your relationship with somebody else, you know, people that you have convinced through the quality of your character, you know, who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start turning each other into humans and individuals, men, not black men and white men, but just men and women, you know what I'm saying, individual human beings. And I only think that can be done on an individual level, man. And honestly, and maybe I'm being kumbaya, you know, maybe I'm being way too naive, but that's why I invest and am so open to the conversation, because I do think that is the process of individual change. That's my thought, Lewis.
Right.
I don't have a ton of time,
no,
but I do want to hear your response.
No, I got it. But, and you know what? I agree. Look, it's not going to be, you know, where all of a sudden you get, you know, all at once, everyone is going to kind of change their views and kind of unlearn what they've learned and start to look at things a different way. No, it's not going to happen on a wide scale basis. You're right. It is going to be individual, case by case. There's no question about that. But what I would say in response to what you said about, you know, you would disagree with some of the verbs that I use to characterize.
Well, I don't know. We have to go one at a time. I just want to be clear.
Well, exactly.
You know what I mean?
And that's what I was about to say. Maybe in every case it isn't like that. Maybe in every case some of those verbs aren't appropriate. But you cannot deny in some cases it is appropriate. Because I could tell you many experiences where maybe I wouldn't use a verb that strong, but I can damn sure tell you this. There's no question that because I was an African-American, I was approached and or talked to in a much different way than what if I had I been white, I would have been talked to. And you know what? And in every one of those situations, Will, it wasn't necessarily a situation where I feared for my safety. It was just the manner in which someone approached me and or thought that maybe they could anticipate what I was looking for. And I was just like, why are you assuming that? Oh, I get why you're assuming that. And see, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. See, it doesn't always have to result in killing. Sometimes it's much more subtle than that, but nevertheless, it's still wrong.
Hey, listen, I want you to know I believe you, like 100% what you're saying, and that's why I asked you for that, because I do know.
No, I got you. I know
that whatever I invest in the understanding the data, there's the personal experience that is just as powerful, what you just said right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, man. Okay, it was a short segment, and I was going to ask you about Keaton Slovis and Sam Darnold and Tua Tagovailoa, but today's the day for what we just did. I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, I'll see you.
All right. It's Lewis Riddick, ESPN's NFL front office insider here on The Will Cain Show. Lighten it up. Draft our homework. Superhero movies. 888-729-3776. Let's fill up the big board next on The Will Cain Show.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
We just got a few minutes here in this segment. We got to set our big board, brainstorming question, our homework for the weekend, superhero movies. We'll draft in the third hour of The Will Cain Show, and we'll reconvene and vote on Tuesday. It is The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. All right, let's start the game. If we're going to be drafting superhero movies, what needs to be in? Bubba's on the show today. Nuno's here as well. I don't know if Mike A's on the phone lines right now. He'll be joining us in the third hour. Pat, what's the situation? He has politely tapped out this week. Was everybody too mean about his movie picks? What happened to Pat?
Yeah, so he took off today and tomorrow. And then he's working from home on Sunday. So he went back home to Philadelphia, which is fine. So he's hanging out at his parents' house for the weekend. And apparently he's going to be spending so much time with his parents, he's unable to spare any time to watch a few movies.
Hmm.
So he said, there's no way I can watch any movies. I'm going to be with my parents. So you go, okay, you can't watch a movie? Nope, I'm going to be with my parents.
Hmm.
Okay, so wonder, yeah, so he he's out.
Pat and his parents do. Play pinochle, wear masks. Hey, Eddie from Wisconsin, what needs to go on the big board here if we're drafting superhero movies?
How many am I allowed to give you? Just one or more than one? Or
give me a couple, but don't give me the whole slate. How about that?
Okay. Well, I mean, staying away from like the Avengers MCU movies, go back a little bit. I was thinking either Meteor Man or Mystery Men.
Oh, I like you're going deep cuts here. I don't know either of those movies.
They're entertaining. They have some comedic value. I mean, it's early Ben Stiller for Mystery Men. I mean, I got a bowling ball when I was 12 years old because there's a bowling ball that kind of comes to life, spoiler alert, by Janine Garofalo's character. It's kind of entertaining. I bought the ball when I was 12 years old because I watched the movie. I thought it was cool. So
I'll tell you, we're not doing B movies. Appreciate the call. But when I was a kid, we watched a B movie superhero film called The Toxic Avenger. And let me tell you something. That was something.
That's a classic.
You've seen it, Bubba?
I've seen parts of it. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think as a kid it gave me some bad dreams. Here's what I think you go with. I think the top two, this is my feeling. I'm drafting last because I was last year's winner. I think it's The Dark Knight, probably the one with Heath Ledger. What is that one? I'm not sure.
I think it's just called The Dark Knight.
Okay, thank you. And Thor, Ragnarok. That's what I'm thinking. I think that's really good. I know my kids love it. John from San Antonio, what's on?
Yeah, well, this is a recommendation and a hot take, but you did just say we're not doing B movies, so you might disqualify me already. So what it is it's a 2010 dark comedy. It's called Super, and it stars Rainn Wilson or Dwight from The Office.
Super?
And two thumbs up, it just doesn't get much love. Now, okay. The hot take is that, you know, since he doesn't have traditional superpowers, I would move that, you know, if that's one of the cutoffs, then you don't, you know, pop up any Batman movies at all, because being a billionaire isn't a superpower.
Oh, I just don't like that take at all. That's one for Golic and Wingo. I appreciate it. I think Batman and Iron Man are superheroes. Bubba Nuno, do you have anyone you want to throw in to start the big board?
Maybe a little Deadpool?
Oh, a D movie. What a surprise.
Deadpool's a good one. That one might get drafted. Right now, my money's on one of the Dark Knights, Thor Ragnarok, Deadpool.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.